Good morning, everybody. So first of all, I just want to tell you, thank you all for coming week after week. Bhatia is doing a great job. You're doing a great job, Bhatia. I wait all week to hear your share. And I thank you all for your participation. And this morning, I have the honor and privilege of introducing my fabulous sister-in-law, Miriam Weingettinger, who will be the guest speaker for today. Thank you so much, Miriam.
Good morning, and thank you for that wonderful introduction. I told Bhatia she deserves a week off, and I was truly very, very inspired by all every week, but 2 weeks ago, she talked about anti-Semitism and self-esteem, and those are some of the topics that the Nitziv discusses in this upcoming week's Parsha that I wanted to amplify on a bit this morning. The Parsha that we're going to is Chukas Balak. And interestingly, Ima, Zecher Tzadeket Livracha, was known to study last week's Parsha through Tuesday, because you're allowed to do so. But in the spirit that I'm not going to be here next week, I'm going to be in California, the time is difficult. I wanted very much to share this classic Nitziv. Again, that was one of her very, very, very favorites. All right. So in Parshat Balak, of course, we deal with the theme of Bilam and his famous prophecy to the Jewish people. And he shares the crux of anti-Semitism, the basis for anti-Semitism, the development of anti-Semitism, actually traces it to Bilam's nevuah. So in Perek Chof Gimel, the Pasuk says, Ki me rosh tsurim erenu, u'migva'ot ashurenu. From the mountaintops, I see him. Again, a reference to Bilam looking with his evil eye, gazing upon the Jews, hoping to find and connect with the 1 minute that Hashem is angry with the Jewish people. The Pasuk concludes, Hein am levadod yishkon, they are a people who dwells separately, ubagoyim lo yitchashav, and they do not, or don't reckon with, or are not accounted for amongst the nations of the world. And so the Nitziv has a very classic, very unique interpretation about this Pasuk. We'll do it in order. The beginning, I see you from atop of the mountains. So Rashi explains that that's a reference to the Avot, to the patriarchs, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that as long as we have such strong roots in them, then there is nothing that can be done, so to speak, to rattle the Jewish nation. He opens his prophecy by saying, I'm not going to be successful as long as they have Zchut Avot. If you look at each one of the Avot, we see something specific related to their relationship with the rest of the world and to the nature of anti-Semitism until today. When we speak of Avraham, of course, we speak of Ivri Anochi. I am a Hebrew, from the word Aver, meaning a bank. I stand on one side of the world and the rest of the world, not only physically, but more importantly, social, emotionally, and spiritually, is against me. Avram is taken advantage of, even in the moment of trying to bury his beloved wife, Sarah, and trying to negotiate with the B'nai Chet. They do offer him, finally, they do allow him to bury her, and they are big talkers, but in the end, they take Kesef Over LaSocher. They use him. They are very comfortable to step on a Jew and take the highest possible coinage for their advantage. Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the basis of what we understand, the terminology of to Jew you, and the economic jealousy, the fear of economic dominion of the Jew. As the Psukim and Toldot describe, Vayikanu bo plishtim, the Philistines were jealous of him, absolutely jealous. He plants and is able to achieve 100-fold. The Pasuk describes Me'asha Arim, the name of the neighborhood in Yerushalayim, taken from that blessing of his abundant crops. Outright, the Pasuk tells us they were openly jealous. And what do? They seek to harm him economically. They stuff up the wells that his father Avraham had dug, and the psukim go into great detail to describe the names of the wells, and finally the one that they don't fight about, the origin of the city of Rehovot till today. And then comes Yaakov, but the connection is through the anti-Semitism. The very next perek in Toldot describes Yaakov taking the brachot, the identity theft. And the reason is as follows. Yitzhak said, I'm not worried about Yaakov. Yaakov and his legacy will be strong. But how will the Jewish people survive through a goody-goody, through somebody who is tamim, such as Yaakov is? Better for me to bless Esav and channel his strength of character, his leadership, his guts. No one will take advantage of him. He's a hunter, he's a warrior. That would be the better path. Rivka objects and feels that the better path is to take the bracha through Yaakov and to bring Yaakov into the real world, which is what happens. As a result of the bracha, Yaakov must flee from Esav, and he sojourns with Lavan for 22 years. And that is his wake-up call to the world. Interestingly, though, the paradigm for Jewish anti-Semitism and survival is in the house of Lavan. It is so bad, the assimilation threat is so horrific to Yaakov, that the Haggadah says, "Say ulamad, go out and study this model and see ma bikesh Lavan harami lasos liyakov. What is it that he tried to do? That he was worse than Paro. Paro physically assaulted the Jews, threw their babies into the bricks. But Lavan was attempting lakor et apol, to uproot everything through this threat of enormous assimilation. And therefore, Yaakov had to leave. And that could have been the galut. That could have been the 400 years that was predicted in the Brit Ben Haftarim. But we never would have survived as a people. There would have been no Jewish nation. And so instead, he comes back and we go down to Egypt. Interestingly, the Netziv has a different explanation on the word tsurim. He doesn't think that it references mountains, and he says as follows. V'hasibo l'zehu mipnei she'la'am Hashem yesh tsuro miyuchedet gavoa mishar anashim. The Jewish people have a different designation, have a different purpose, have a different shape and design, above and exalted from all others. As he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayahu Memtet, Ko amar Hashem be'es ratzon anisicha biyom Yeshua azarticha ve'etzarcha ve'etnecha lebrit am. Hashem says, I will save you and you will be my covenant people. How so? Because I designate you that way. I form you. Ve'etzarcha, from the word liyatzer, to create or designate, and in some way create this exalted status, is, according to the Netziv, what the crux of the anti-Semitism is about. And he goes on, and it's fascinating to me, and of course, I'm amongst very intellectual company, so I'm not going to stray very far and mention, except we all know that he, in fact, the Netziv was a contemporary of Darwin, and very fascinatingly what he says here. V'im kein ze'ot asher meirosh tsurim hu, mishum hochi lo benikal nifsad ikar hatsura asher bo hu notzar. Every person is created individually, not only collectively as a nation do we have a designation, but every person has their own design and purpose. Umishum hachi misha mahalech mikomako neged tachlit tzurato, somebody who goes against that innate tzura, that innate designation, lo yis hashev leben adam klal. He isn't even on the level of a human being. Vaharehu kikof bitzurat adam. He's like a monkey in the body or the shape, so to speak, of a human being. Meaning that one who betrays their purpose, their tzura, whether we're talking about an individual person or we're talking about the Jewish people, they sink lower than their original creation. Achar shenivla tzurat Yisrael shelo yeh nikar alav, al kein hayu nivza'im bagoyim, kikli ein hafetz bo. The Jewish nation will become like a discarded object, not a person. When you lose your status, when you lose the way you were designated and created your tzura, you sink so low that you actually go beneath, like layers lower than you are. So just as a person will sink to the level of an animal, and very interestingly, my husband tells a great story. It's a true story, which was fascinating. He met once a Russian Jew who told him that he was a child in the public schools in the former Soviet Union. And he remembers one time that his teacher was, you know, preaching against creationism and was going on and on. And there was a Jewish boy in the class, they were 6 years old, who dared to argue with the professor, with the teacher. And this little boy named Roger Minsky was just sitting in the back of the class, and maybe he had a little smirk on his face. So the teacher turned his attention from arguing with the, you know, the wise mouth Jewish kid. And he said, Roger Minsky, what do you believe? Do you think we came from monkeys or do you think God created us? And so very cleverly, he said, I think you came from a monkey. The rest of us were created by God. So that understanding that one can sink lower than an animal is what is the story of Bilam. Bilam had the prophetic capability equal to Moshe, but the human ability, what did he do with that designation? He is lower than an animal. So much so that the Gemara in Sanhedrin describes he committed bestiality with this famous donkey. The donkey cannot survive the incident as a source of enormous embarrassment for who or what Bilam became. Again, this is in contrast to Moshe Rabbeinu, who rose with his level of prophetic ability and the concept of self-esteem, anava, to the level of an angel, but never, never behaved that way in his leadership towards the Jewish people. So the crux of what the Netziv is discussing here is really found in the later half of the pasuk, but the idea that we were created for a purpose, and when we lose that purpose, we will sink lower and lower, is in fact what anti-Semitism truly is. So as the Netziv explains, Am levadod yishkan, lo kitzerach haluma, it's not like every other nation. V'lashon, every nation has its own language. Shehochim v'agolo umitarvim im ha-magalim otam. All people who take on and are assimilating into another country, they mix with them. Yoter mishahayu nifradim ehem. They take on a melting pot rather than a mosaic type of an approach. Avalo kein am Yisrael. But this is not the way for the Jewish nation. Geshehu levad, ve'eino mitzarev bahem. As long as the Jew remains apart, separate, and distinct, and does not mix and assimilate, yishkon, bimnucha ube kavod, then the Jew lives peacefully and honorably. Vera'u kalame haaretz, ki shem Hashem nikra alav, ve'ein ish mitchare imo. Nobody is jealous. Nobody starts up. That is the secret to success in the Galut, is that we must maintain our tzura. Ubagoyim, kasher hu rotzeh liyot mu'urav imam. But when, in fact, we become like the nations, lo yishashev. Eino nechshav be'inam lehishashev leklal la'adam. We lose our status, not only collectively, but individually. We're no longer a people, and we're no longer almost human to them, which is so fascinating, because that is what anti-Semitism at its worst is. Total dehumanization, to the extent that we know that the Nazis used Zyklon B. They used a pesticide We became literally vermin to them. And that is what the Nitziv describes is what will happen to the Jewish people. Shehem rotzim lehishtavot im umot ha'olam. When we wish to be equal to them, nasu badod mehem, then we actually become isolated from them. Ve'ein uma mechashev otam lehitzarev ima. And the nations eventually refuse to allow us to mix. And he's going to describe in a minute how that happens, what the first level of that is. But that is actually a fascinating concept, that the more we try to mix, the worse, the greater the anti-Semitism will be. He explains, V'achar shezehu tzurat Yisrael, since this is our shape and designation, sheyiyah badad bagayim umuvd al mehem, that we are to be separate and distinct, alkein b'sha'osh mevakesh lifrotz badad, when we try to break that isolation, ulehichakot el pulatam, and to copy and mimic them literally like a monkey, ulebesof lachzor tzurat hayahadut, and in the end we lose that Jewish designation. Mahakadosh Baruch Hu oseh b'oto sha'ah, what will God do at that time? Lahamido al tachlit tchilato yitzurato, to put us back to our original designation. Hinei ma'orer hu sina min hagoyim b'poal. He will activate hatred amongst the nations. Umarkikim otam b'iskehem. They will remove them and separate and push them, distance themselves, first economically, upimoshvotam, and then regarding where they can dwell. The ghetto is said here. Ad shebalf karachem nikard surat Yisrael. And at the end, we do look like Jews. Udvar Hashem yakum la'olam. And that is what he describes. So the Nitziv goes on here to start with the example of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. But as we know, this is a pattern. In the story of Hanukkah, the more the Jews wanted to Hellenize, obviously the more dangerous it became, and they were no longer going to be successful. Their success came only through the Maccabim, who stood firm to the principles of Torah. The golden age of Spain, again, what a wonderful age, and the Jews rose to prominence, and then ultimately expelled from the country, lost everything, obviously till modern times. All right, so the Nitziv explains, Yisrael begalut Mitzrayim manu min hamila. The first thing they got rid of was any physical demarcation. They didn't circumcise themselves. Amru nehe kemitzriim, let us be like Egyptians. Ma asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu afach lahem lisno amo. Hashem caused the Egyptians to hate us. Peirush she'ein hashvu asher me'achar shehem bagalut ra'ui shelo yeh nivdal mehem. The Jews thought it's appropriate if we're going to be in this exile, we should be like them. V'naseh lehefech. And in fact, the opposite was true. Shemitzrayim bagalu atzmam miYisrael. The Egyptians separated from the Jews. It's fascinating that the holiday is termed Pesach. Why did God have to skip over the houses? Because we assimilated. We're the ones who moved in with them. But the Egyptians repelled the Jews. And that is the message of the holiday of Pesach. A very, very interesting and important concept. The Nitziv goes, therefore, on to explain that the basis or the first level of anti-Semitism, this hatred by nations of the world, starts with blaming, with the big lie, with just, again, fabricating reasons, a lot of it economic, to hate the Jews, and surely that was the case during the Holocaust, blaming the Jews for the Weimar Republic, and etc. And he tells us classically, as we know, in the Haggadah, it says, Ayareu osanu hamitzrim, the Egyptians were bad. We translate it normally to us, right? They did horrible things to us. But it doesn't say that they were evil to us. It says that they made us bad. They blamed us. They said we were bad, ukfuye tova, and not loyal citizens. That's what they said. Their fifth columnists, they're going to join the enemies. It's not so much that they were bad to us, but they in fact made us considered into an evil people. The same happens here in this story of Moab. Absolutely happens in Moab. And the Jews, therefore, in Egypt, sank to the negative 49th level. They almost were inextricably bound up in Egypt and couldn't get out, barely. Hashem is able to save them because of Zchut Avot at the last minute. In this story here with Moab, the same thing. The Jews were already on the border of Israel when this story happens. They had clearly been told that Moab is our cousin, Al titgarbam, not to start up with them, not to fight with them. And all of a sudden, Moab accuses us that they're here to destroy us. They're on our borders, ready to eat the grass, so to speak, to wipe us out of the world. Such horrific big lies are very, very much the beginnings and the first stage of anti-Semitism. The Nitziv goes on to explain that the only protection that we have as Jews in the Golah, Jews in exile, is in fact to keep the Torah, to study Torah, because without that, we lose anything that will keep us in our original designation. And of course, the Nitziv lives through that horrific, the yeshiva and the closing of the yeshiva, and the world in which we live is interesting proof, because it is the greatest time of overt anti-Semitism. The last 5 years, the last 8 years, it gets only worse and worse. By the same token, we have enormous Torah. And that's when they left Egypt, the Zelah HaHa'ot. What would be your sign? How are you going to get out of Egypt? Moshe asked. The answer was Tavdu Nosi Bahar Hazeh, that you would accept the Torah, that you'd study Torah. So we live in a world where we see both. We see the explosion of Torah, such as not happened in Galut since the time of Babylonia, since Babel, but by the same token, this horrific anti-Semitism. Remember that Egypt was only 20% of the Jews were able to leave Egypt. Hamushim alu, one-fifth. Four-fifths were completely assimilated and more than willing to accept the host country and those mores. And I think that's what we're seeing too. We're so excited. Baruch Hashem, look what we're able to have a shir and people all over the world can join. But by the same token, the assimilation is so, so pervasive and massive and of such a nature that we're also probably looking only at 20%. The Nitziv goes on to say that our purpose in the Galut, therefore, is Be'er Hetev. When the Tochacha is described in the book of Devarim, it says that Moshe was to write the Torah in 70 languages. Now, what that means, literally, figuratively, but Moshe was to make the Torah, so to speak, universal. That is our guidepost in the Galut. Without that, we have nothing. To return to what Avraham was, Nasi Elokim, to be able to be Av Hamon Goyim, Arla Goyim, that is the only thing that will save us and protect us, so to speak, from all the anti-Semitism that's out there. The second level that is discussed is that of Amalek. The Bilam also refers to Amalek here in his prophecy, and he says, Reshit Goyim Amalek, Lo Shahaya Amalek Gadol Mikol HaGoyim. What is this to call Amalek number one, the prototype, the archetype of nations? They really weren't much of a player. They weren't a great nation at all. Ela basher Amalek yatzar rishon lemilchama al Yisrael b'tzeitam l'mitzrayim. But the problem was that Amalek came first to attack the Jews when they left Egypt. What was that? The hatam mishum sha'adko hayu minhagim kol mot ha'olam. Because up until that point, the world, the nations of the world operated only on the premise of natural occurrences, mazal, astrology, so to speak. Ubitzeit Yisrael hayashinui b'halichot olmot ha'olam, kishiyu nimshachim b'makom shenogei l'Yisrael, l'fi hashgacha pratit. Now, according to the Nativ, what they hate, the reason that it becomes a battle, a spiritual struggle, such as Batya described, milchama l'Hashem midor dor, Yad al Kes Ka, we have this enormous hatred of the Jew. That comes from the fact that the Jew represents Hashgacha Pratit, God's special involvement. He didn't put the world on autopilot. He is directly involved and engaged in our lives and in our world. That is a concept that is antithetical to these nations. And that is the spiritual struggle. The reason they hate us, asher karcha baderech, not only that they cooled it off, this fire, this passion, this respect for Jews, but from the word keri, which means temporary, just mikre, random. Vayikar Elohim leBilam, every one of the descriptions here in this parsha of God's prophecy to Bilam is randomness. It was at night, a dream. It wasn't like Moshe, Vayikra, that it's like literally the calling, the exalted calling, that the angels, the Kara Zeh El Zeh the Amar, Moshe in his humility makes the olive smaller, but it's Vayikra, a direct relationship. And that is why they hate us. The Nitziv very beautifully explains that when it comes to Amalek, it says in Bishalach, Vayavo Amalek, and he quotes the pasuk in Mishle, "Baz Adon v'yavo kalon v'hainu gam o terem milcham hevi divrei buz u'matalut al Yisrael mitlotzitim al Yehudim b'yadut." The second level of anti-Semitism is Amalek, is Haman, is Hitler. It is this derision, complete and utter derision, not only lying and blaming, but complete and awful derision. And as I said, lowering to levels of insects. We're vermin. There's no humanity left. But the crux that what they were so worried about and afraid of was this idea of Hashgacha Pratit. There's much more to be said, but we want to keep to the time. And it's so fascinating, really fascinating in our modern times to reflect upon how forward the Nitziv was in writing this and what he described and the significance of Torah in our world as the only antidote, so to speak, to that. Have a wonderful week.